Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The Milwaukee Film Festival continues at various theaters across the city this week, and if you're looking for a thriller with a Midwest sensibility, Uncle John will keep you on your toes throughout.
Some of you may remember actor John Ashton for his character roles in Beverly Hills Cop or Midnight Run, but in this independent film, he becomes a quiet Wisconsin carpenter and murderer.
Uncle John is a two-pronged storyline that captures both farm and city life while being ominous and just ambiguous enough to cover up what John is hiding. The film is director Stephen Pyatt's first feature, and he, along with screenwriter Eric Crary and actor John Ashton, joined me in the studio to talk about the film and how they created a rich film on a low budget.
So the story opens actually on a murder being carried out. So you see what's going on, but you don't know why it's happening. And then you're immediately with John as he sort of goes through all the post-murder stuff in the small town that he lives in and has to, you know, sort of navigate that whole world. And then alongside of that, there's a like an office romance comedy sort of story that's opened up in Chicago. And there's the two stories sort of ping-pong between those two. There are links between them that you're picking up along the way. But then as things come to the third act, we start to figure out how strongly those two are linked.
And to answer your second question, the reason why we wanted to write a thriller was Eric grew up in Lodi, Wisconsin, and we would just go up there and just hang out in the town, and he would tell me stories about just the people in town. It's a very small town, so he knew everyone. The stories were different because everyone was so sweet and had a very positive side to them, but there was also certain houses, you know, he would say, like, you know, this woman makes the best pie, but her husband, you know, there's some darkness there, and he would tell me these stories that didn't seem like the stereotypical small town, like very peaceful Americana small town. There's some darkness underneath. So when we wanted to tell a story in that town, we wanted to assign a genre to it, and that genre was a thriller.
Did you yourself grow up in a larger town? Or?
I grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
So that's where the other story takes place.
So there's the juxtaposition, and I know many of our listeners, whether they're in the Milwaukee or Wisconsin area, you know, it's very accessible to just drive up half hour, and then you find yourself in these small town settings.
Exactly, yeah.
And part of the thing, just to expound on that a little more, part of the thing that we talked about was when you live in a small town, you sort of know, you know, everybody's business. And when you're in a big city, some crazy stuff could be going on within blocks of you, but you don't know everybody. You have no idea what's going on. So it's just a different, you know. I think life is pretty similar in both places, but you just happen to know a lot more when you're in a smaller town and everybody knows everybody. So,
right. What was the process for you both, Eric and Stephen, as writers, to make this story that is deliberate yet suspenseful?
The main reason we did that was for character development. We wanted to tell a character-based story and not a plot-based story. We felt that if we got to know the characters and started to care for the characters, then when things got really tense and suspenseful, it would mean a lot to a viewer. So that was the reason why we wanted to do it that way.
And the scenes and the pace is slower and purposeful. Did you want the style to reflect kind of the country life that you're delving into and its surroundings?
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. You know, the country life is a little more laid back, I would say. And the city life is a little meandering and trivial at times, you know, especially with when you're young. You can get focused on really silly stuff like getting the best coffee and finding the new restaurant to go to. There's kind of a laid-back atmosphere in both settings, but it kind of depends on the person that you are, you know, and both of the characters have an ease about them.
John, bringing you into this, you are the title character in your starring role, and some of our listeners may have known you as your character roles in things such as Midnight Run and Beverly Hills Cops movie, but what about this film made you want to return to the screen in a title role?
Eric and Stephen got my email address somehow, and they sent me the script, and I read 10 pages of it, and I loved it. I grew up in a small town in Connecticut, actually, so I worked in the tobacco fields, and I'm basically a small-town guy. The character really intrigued me. As Eric said earlier, he said there's things that happen in small towns that, you know, and everybody knows everybody and stuff like that. And that's kind of – I grew up in a mill town in Connecticut on the Connecticut River, so the character really intrigued me. I had a lot of questions, and Stephen and I talked about, and and I don't think I give anything away, but you know, the murder is committed in the very beginning of the movie, so you already know that I did it.
Yes.
It's committed in the trailer. Yeah.
So I said, okay, why did I do it? And then you discover things as the movie progresses. You discover the reasons why, and my sister and my nephew, and then the nephew who lives in Chicago now brings his girlfriend up to Wisconsin to come to the small town to meet me, and then Danny's Ronnie Jean's character comes in because he plays the brother of the guy that I killed, and he comes in, and so now Uncle John is he's very protective of his family and his nephew, and so go watch the movie.
Yes.
And the reason why we wanted to have the information come out in slow bits throughout the film was we were trying to get the feeling of how information gets passed through a small town and small town gossip, and how you get these different stories coming from all different places, and you have to choose which one is correct.
Exactly. And for yourselves as writers and thinking of who to cast in this movie, what about John Astin made you want to reach out to him and say, we want you for this title role?
Yeah, he was, I mean, we always thought he was a great actor and a great character actor, and he has that great voice and a kind of like salt of the earth feel about him. So it just kind of, we were writing the script at the time, and I was watching Beverly Hills Cop on Netflix streaming, and I was like, man, I always liked that guy. And we were just kind of picturing him in the role, and that's when I just like told Eric, I was like, what do you think about John Astin like for the role of Uncle John? And that's when he got his email and sent him the script.
The rest is history.
Which is kind of weird. I mean, how he connected Sergeant Taggart to Uncle John was... It still baffles me.
Well, I'm sure myself and all audiences will be glad that he did. And your character...
I'm glad he did, too.
Yeah. And your character, John, I feel has like a really quiet intensity about himself. And especially you can see that in his open moments alone. And yet he puts on a different facade in front of his small town friends at the coffee shop. You know, he's very much keeping under the radar to keep what he's done hidden. And how did you portray these juxtaposition of a friendly, small-town, old-man farmer versus here's a person who is very capable and has committed murder?
Wow. I always felt John was a very personal guy and a very inward guy. And he kept most things to himself all the time. But he also had... friends, you know, I mean, you have very small town coffee guys that we have the coffee shop talks with and stuff. And I just always felt he was a very inward, personal guy. And I don't want to swear on this, but
we can bleep it.
Don't screw with my family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can tell a quick like logistical side story about this all. So John, you know, we had talked a lot with John over Skype. We had not met in person yet because we just, as a super low budget film, thankfully technology is in your favor and
yes.
you can do this stuff. But so we hadn't met John yet, but we in person. But we had done a lot of phone calling, a lot of Skyping. Stephen and John had talked at length about a lot of things. We bought John, you know, tickets into Madison from Fort Collins, Colorado, where he lives. Everything was all set to go, and then we were getting close. John was going to show up in a few days, and then he called and he said, "You know what? I think I'm going to drive myself out." And we're like, "Okay, all right." So we canceled all the tickets, and John took 3 days and drove himself out. And you talk a lot in Q&As about that. It's a very, very internal character, and John alone on the road for 3 days showed up in that character. It was kind of insane for us.
I actually got there a day early, and then I went out to the local cafes and stuff and listened to people and got into their environment. And it was a wonderful experience for me. Instead of flying in 2 hours, you're there, and boom, you're on the set, and you go, wow. And so the 3 days that I took to drive helped me get into my character. And by the time I got there, I really... felt like Uncle John. So.
For you, John, many reviews have called your performance in this film career-defining. Would you agree or disagree, and why?
He'd agree.
I don't know. I haven't died yet. You know. I mean, you know, you do big budget movies like Beverly Hills Cop and Midnight Run, and I'm a stage actor. I got my degree in theater from University of Southern California, and I did theater for 20 years. So for me, it was sort of like doing a play. It was I got back to my roots a little bit, you know.
Felt a little more at home.
Absolutely.
Good. And Stephen, what is it like for you to have this as your first feature film, and what aspect of this piece are you most proud of?
You know, it's for the first feature, I'm just really proud of that I got to do it with Eric, and that we were able to take such a micro budget and we wrote to that budget and to the locations, and everything that we talked about during the writing process and what we were trying to achieve, I feel like we did, and I feel like people are responding to the same things that we were talking about from the very beginning and what we were trying to do. And that's, you never know until people start watching the film and you're getting feedback. And the fact that they are saying, you know, the things that we were going for is so rewarding, and you just want to communicate, you hope you're communicating well to the audience, and I think we did that, which I'm really happy with. What I hope for, you know, as Eric and I continue to make films and other projects, that story always remains king and we're always working for the story. That's the biggest thing, that our own input is really secondary to what is communicating best to the audience.
This is for a question for all of you to take in whatever order you please. What was your personal favorite aspects, experiences, or memories during the making of this film?
When we started writing the film and actually getting proactive about making it, it was very clear that we were going to call in a massive amount of favors from my family, friends, and where I grew up, Lodi. And we could not have gotten more support from everybody. Like, the fact people were donating cookies, people were showing up just to see if we need anything. I mean, it was kind of an amazing experience with that. And it's continued through the completion of the film. Everybody is so supportive of us. So I just feel very it's like a global thank you, and I just feel very fortunate about the whole experience with Lodi and everybody that put in so much time. And same thing happened in Chicago. Steven's family handled so much stuff down there. So it's really, when you're trying so hard with so little money and you're asking so many favors, you just really hope it comes together, and it did, and that's because of everybody else. I think that's a huge takeaway for me.
I just think the whole experience was great. As Eric said, the people in Lodi were unbelievable. I mean, bringing pieces to the set and stuff. And, you know, we were working on a low budget. And I really have to give a shout-out to Mike Bove, who was a cinematographer. And when Stephen and I talked, he said we're going to do everything handheld. And I went, oh, wow. You know, sometimes you watch those things and I get a headache with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Mike was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. I mean, because we didn't have the budget or the time to set sticks up, so he did everything handheld, and his cinematography I thought was terrific in it. And it's really hard for me to go watch my performances because I know what I did internally, and when I try to watch it externally, it doesn't connect sometimes. but he was terrific. Ronnie's great in the movie. Jenna was great in the movie. Alex is great in the movie. I just felt part, you know, I mean, I know I'm the star of the movie, but I mean, I just felt part of the process, and the process worked. So
I would say just traveling around to different festivals and meeting other filmmakers and watching their films, and I wanted to do this because I fell in love with movies at a really young age, and I love seeing other people's points of view and just learning about different people and where other people are coming from. And I love that it's really hard to do, and there's a lot of people and a lot of talented people that are still doing it, and I think it says a lot about storytelling and just the power of movies.
Well, I think all of you certainly tell a great story in Uncle John, and I know I enjoyed it immensely, and I hope the Milwaukee viewers do as well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here today.
Sure.
Thank you.
Uncle John premiered at the Milwaukee Film Festival on October 1st, and will have its final screening October 8th at the Oriental. We spoke with writer Eric Crary, writer and director Stephen Pyatt, and actor John Ashton ahead of that first showing.